Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham Light over here. Dr. Billy Graham said every human being is under construction from conception to death. Therefore, family devotions is vital. Join me in reading for some, reciting for others, the new Nicene Creed. In the back, write down book form. Just write that down. We believe in one God. Now, my beloved, read this with meaning. Read it only if you believe it. I believe what I'm reading and what I am saying here. And if you believe it, it ought to change your life. It ought to transform your life. It ought to change your behavior. It ought to impact your life and the lives of people around you. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. This is the new part. The disciples and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Amen, somebody. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen, somebody. Now we turn to the children in the family verses and how timely this is. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The Bible reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, "The command is simple. Children are to obey their parents. Period. Full stop. Amen, somebody." And I believe that particularly if these children live in the house with the parents, they are to obey, no matter how old they are, their parents. Period. Full stop. Without back talk. Without a bad attitude. Without a bad spirit. And this not only means that children have, he goes on to say, the responsibility to obey, but parents have the responsibility to teach their children obedience. As I have said many times, after getting saved, the greatest thing that I have learned is the principle of obedience to God. For I am a child as well. I'm a child of God. And if I want to be blessed, I better obey God. And if I want to avoid chastisement, I better obey God. For we have some here this morning who are going to be chastised because of their disobedience. That's right. Some of my children will be chastised today because of their disobedience. But the greatest lesson I've ever learned since being saved is the lesson God taught me long ago when he took me to the woodshed and chastised me in no uncertain way and made it very clear to me, "Son, I'm glad that you are saved and that you want to serve me. That's fine, but you must serve me my way, not your way. Just as sure as I'm black," he told me that. And he made it very clear to me that it's not going to be any other way. Is God loving? Yes, God is loving. But he loves you so much to let you know that he is God, and you're going to do it his way if you want to be blessed in your life. And once I learned that lesson, God has tremendously blessed my life and has shown me great favor. And I assure you, I don't care if you're black or white, red or yellow, if you name the name of Christ, if you refuse to obey God, God will refuse to bless you in the way that he wants to bless you, and he will refuse to show you favor in the way that he wants to show you favor. Now, you get some basic blessings, but the special blessings that he really wants to give you, he's not going to do that. He does not roll that way. I'm sorry. I know that there are some pastors who teach that you can do some of anything and expect God to bless you, and you can pull down blessings and finances and favor while you're shacking up, and while you got a girlfriend on the side, and while you got a boyfriend on the side, and while you're a little sneaky devil homosexual in the closet, and I'm trying to peek out of the closet, and think that God is still blessing you anyhow, God is still blessing you anyway, that's a lie out of hell. And I feel sorry for some pastors who have to resurrect the dead every Sunday because the people who claim to be Christians refuse to obey God. They want to do some of everything Monday through Saturday and then fall off in the church and fold their hands and say, "Move me, preach if you can. I feel dead on the inside." And they act like they don't know why they feel dead. They feel dead because they are full of evil and sin, and rebelliousness and meanness and hatefulness and divorce and separation and lying and dishonesty and deceit and trying to be cute when they 54 years old and they got 5 children. Sit down somewhere, sir, ma'am. Stop thinking that you're cute when you're not. Your cute days are over. Stop trying to hook somebody with your old self and raise your children. Go back home, sir, and raise your children. Just be in the house. And your children may not even want to talk with you that much or spend that much time, but give your children the opportunity to at least peek in the room at you and see that you're there. Don't you know children will do that? And every now and then you'll have a child to come and hug your neck and say, I love you, Papa, as my children have done down through the years, just for nothing. But you can't get that unless you're there. Instead of running the street trying to hook up with somebody like you because you didn't enjoy your high school years. Are you kidding? Grow up and be home. Get home and teach your children obedience. Something you probably never learned while you were a child. Try to help them to learn it while they're children so that they can avoid all of the pain and heartache that you have experienced. Back to the Guzik text. This not only means that children have the responsibility to obey, but parents have the responsibility to teach their children obedience. And this is no easy job. You got to be a grown man and a grown woman to do this. And you got to be a strong somebody because you probably got some strong-willed children who are stubborn and rebellious and disobedient, and you better be more of that than they are. And some of you poor little parents, you're afraid of your children. You're afraid of the little children. And you're horrified at the older children. But you're looking at a man who, I'm not afraid of any child or anybody. I will look them straight in the eye and tell them what the deal is. I did it this morning. That's one of the reasons why I'm late this morning. When God lays on my heart to deal with something, I'm going to deal with it. And they can like it, lump it, or choke on it. I can care less. But one day, if they are Christians, they'll thank me for it, or they'll thank God for me, because I told them the truth. And if parents don't do anything else, tell your children the truth, eyeball to eyeball, because nobody else is going to love them enough to tell them the truth. Teach your children obedience, man, and save them a lifetime of pain. One of the most important jobs, back to the text of Dr. Guzik, one of the most important jobs for a parent is to teach your children obedience. We don't need to teach our children how to disobey because they have each inherited an inclination to sin from Adam and from us. But obedience must be taught. Isn't that interesting that you don't have to teach a child how to steal? May God spare your soul. May God have mercy on your soul, parents, if you teach your children to do evil like that. But don't you know you don't have to teach a child how to steal, but you got to teach a child not to steal? It is essential, he says, that a parent teach the child obedience, like Daniel, so that the child will grow up knowing how to obey God, even when he doesn't understand everything or doesn't want to obey. See, that's the trick right there. To pray when you don't want to pray. To be obedient when everything around you and everything in you is telling you to be disobedient. This is what all a parent's discipline for a child must come to. Disobedience must be punished so that obedience can be learned. Amen, somebody. And the old saints didn't have a problem doing this. That's why we are looking at a generation now who just don't, they just don't get, they're not connecting. Not only are they failing to launch, they're failing to understand what life is about. Generation X, Generation Z, the millennial generation, the millennials, or whatever you want to call them. I used to watch a show when I was a child. I love this show. I see if I can remember it. It's something along the lines of Lost in Space. It was a show back in the 60s. Some of you millennials, some of you Generation Zs, Generation Xs, or whatever you want to call yourselves. And let me just be real about it. Most of the problem with these younger generations is the fact that the parents did not chastise and rebuke and punish these children for their evil, rebellious, stubborn ways. And they think they can have their way in life. And they think that man on the job is going to put up with that nasty attitude. And they're being late. And they're having a bad attitude about work. With them having a poor work ethic, who don't even understand the concept of work, don't understand the value of work. Is mostly the parents' fault. And that's why your child who has failed to launch is right there at home with you, not even thinking about getting married and having a family, and not even ready to get married and have a family. They've never been taught the lesson of obedience. And then we have some parents who've never been taught these things. Do you know there are many parents who never, they are not prepared to be parents at all. They should have never gotten married because they never learned how to be an adult. They're still children, and there's nothing worse than marrying a grown person, physically speaking, but who's a child on the inside. Amen, somebody. Oh, I know I'm telling the truth. And I'm taking my time. Your little principles and your little book will not help these people. By the way, technician, write this down. God gave me this morning. The prophet deals with how it ought to be from God's perspective. The pastor deals with it. Deals with the situation as it is from God's perspective. And both are needed. We thank God for the prophet / evangelist, and we thank God for the pastor / teacher. You say, what does that have to do with what you're talking about? Absolutely nothing. God just gave it to me earlier today, and I thought I'd pass it on to you. So you can understand that there are different gifts in the church. Everybody who's a preacher is not a pastor, as some people think. And everybody who is a preacher is not a prophet or an evangelist. be that as it may, my beloved, let's pray for our children and let's pray for our families that are in disarray because of the parents and the children disobeying God. Holy Father God in heaven, it is a joy and a privilege to pray to you and to be here this morning and to deal with these issues in the sense that it is a great feeling to be obedient to you and to tell people the truth, whether they obey it or not, based upon your holy word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as parents of not taking the loving time and the time to love our children, to rebuke them and to chastise them for their evil ways that will not benefit them for the rest of their lives. And some parents, as you know, Lord, and they know who they are, they have never showed up for their children, period. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you'd crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to show up and to be the parents you want us to be, so that the children will be the children that you want them to be. And we pray that you would give them an obedient spirit to obey your holy word. And each one of them of age can choose to obey your holy word as you did, Lord Jesus, when you were a child. You submitted yourself to your parents even at the time you were God and you are God. And Lord, help all of our children to learn that beautiful lesson, because it is a beautiful thing, especially when an adult child obeys his or her parents. It's a beautiful thing when younger children obey their parents as well. And I pray that these children and these parents would choose to live the beautiful life by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage and reading today is Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry says, here is a solemn call to all nations to praise the Lord. By the way, if you have not praised the Lord this morning, start praising him right now for the millions and manifold blessings that he's bestowed upon you. You say, preacher, why you keep saying millions? God has never bestowed millions of blessings upon me. Listen to me very carefully. God is bestowing millions of blessings upon you right now if you can hear me and if you can see me. In other words, if you're living. There's millions of things going on inside your body that if just one of them did not work, you'd be in pain, you would be in the hospital, or you would be dead. Oh yes, my friend, millions of blessings, millions of things are happening right now for you by the grace of God, by the power of God. Anyway, he said, we soon become weary of well-doing if we don't keep up the pious and devout affections with which the spiritual sacrifice of praise ought to be kindled and kept burning. This is a gospel psalm. The Apostle Paul quotes it as a proof that the gospel was to be preached to the Gentile nations for many ages. in Judah only was God known and his name praised. But the gospel of Christ is ordered to be preached to all nations, and by him those that were far off are made nigh. That is through Jesus Christ. We are among the persons to whom the Holy Spirit here speaks, whom he calls upon to join his ancient people, Israel, in praising the Lord. Amen, somebody. Give God the praise. Thank him for the blessings that you already have. Thank him for the blessings of yesterday. I preached a whole sermon on that one day. The blessings of yesterday. So many people wake up every morning with their hand out to God, God bless me today. And you've never praised God for the blessings of yesterday that you stand on. Don't you know you stand on the blessings of yesterday? Yesterday. Don't tempt me to sing the Beatles song yesterday. Don't tempt me. Don't you tempt me, because I'll sing it. Put a spiritual twist on that bad boy. Yes, I will. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Have it to find a lodging place in our hearts. Help us to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. And help us to praise you, Lord. If you never bless us again today, we know that you will, because you are just that kind of God. You love us still in spite of our faults and sins and failures. You're blessing us right now, as the old saints used to say. But Lord, if you never bless us again, help us to praise you now and for eternity for the blessings of yesterday. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are now. The church, the government, the people, the citizens, the press. Number four, the traditional press. And number five, the new press, which is slowly but surely taking over the old press. Holy Father God, we pray that you would have your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, to stop praying for revival, but to pray to get on revival ground. We're not ready for revival, and we know we're not. As one pastor even told me, who picked me up for a revival meeting at his church, he said, "Preacher, I'm not even sure I want revival." He was honest. And if the pastor is feeling that way, you know people in the pews are that way as well. Have mercy, Lord, and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sin of not even wanting revival. We're not on revival ground. Help us to get on revival ground by breaking up the fallow ground in our sinful, wicked, evil, and ungodly lives. The secret sins down at the house that the church does not even know about. The ugliness, the wickedness, the uncleanness, the nastiness, the bad attitudes, the hatefulness, not speaking to one another all week long, but holding hands in the church parking lot because we see others do it, the duplicity, the hypocrisy, the phoniness, which, Lord Jesus, you dealt with very thoroughly when you were here, and you left your holy word behind for us. We're not on revival ground. We're not even on praying ground. So, Lord, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. And then, Lord, we pray for governmental leadership. We pray based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, as we have prayed for every president since President Reagan in our family, since I have been saved, we pray now for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for his family. We pray that you'll give these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, help them to understand that they need to get their children out of the administration. Help them to understand, help the president to understand that he needs to be truthful and he needs to be honest. Help the president understand that he does not have to always say what comes uppermost into his heart and mind. And help him to understand that he does not have to act presidential, but he claims to be a Christian. He has to act like a Christian in all of his dealings. And if he submits himself to your holy word and obeys your holy word, he'll come out all right. But if he doesn't and continues to try to use his philosophy, is all going to crumble down on his head. And there are many devils and many devilish people, and some good people who are not pulling for him. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon our president, forgive him of his sins, help him to repent of his sins, for he knows not what he does. Crucify his flesh if he is a true believer. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And Lord, help the advisors around him, many of them are good men, to stand flat-footed and to be very firm with this president and tell him there are things he needs to stop doing and there are things he needs to do. He is not all-powerful. And he needs to submit himself to a pastor and to the reading of your holy word and praying with somebody every day. And the whole staff needs to do that. They need to go to church every day, and he needs to go to church. He and Melania somewhere with their little boy son every Sunday. They are no different than anybody else. And Lord, help Jack Graham, help Franklin Graham and others to put their foot down and tell him in no uncertain ways, in no uncertain terms, that he needs to do these things. Not for show, but to line up under you so that he can be truly blessed. We pray for Mike Pence, help him to do the same thing. We pray for we pray that you give him the courage to do it and the wisdom to do it in a loving way, and be the Daniel in the court that he needs to be. And we pray for First Lady Melania Trump, who, like our last First Lady and the previous First Lady before her, Laura Bush, stepped into something they none of them wanted to do. But they are rising to the occasion. And we thank you, Lord, for the humility of Karen Pence. And we pray for all White House staff. And, Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight as well. John Kelly all leaders of federal agencies, including Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, all state governors, including Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, all city mayors, including Orlando, Florida Mayor Buddy Dyer, all members of Congress, and make sure you get up to date, check it, and make sure you get the right people in the right positions. We pray for Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, all law enforcement officials, including Orlando, Florida Police Chief John Mina, all military leaders, including General John E. Hyten, James Mad Dog Mattis, put his name up there every time. We thank you for these new breakthroughs happening in North Korea. The talk is sounding good. Some people don't believe it, and some people don't want to give the president credit for talking tough and using the tactic that I have even used myself down through the years. If you want to act crazy, I can act crazy with you and scare the daylights out of you as you're trying to scare the daylights out of others. So we thank you for giving him that kind of mentality to stop dealing with this man over in North Korea, as previous presidents have with kid gloves. And some people don't understand that kind of thing. And so it looks like our president has moved the ball by making this man understand that he could be annihilated from the face of the earth if he keeps on doing these little childish things, these juvenile things he's doing with these little bombs. And Lord, we pray for leaders of nations around the world. We pray for Honduras President Juan Orlando Hernandez. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David, who has done a bang-up job in spite of the accusations. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel and continued peace. And we thank you for what has been done there in your holy land. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people, the citizens. Lord, we pray that Dr. Billy Graham's messages would continue to ring out all over the world so that people can hear the greatest evangelist since the beginning of the church, since the Apostle Paul proclaim the word of God, the man was born to preach. We thank you for, Lord, sending him to our nation. And, Lord, help us to continue to get his message out there, for few have done it like your choice preacher, Dr. William Billy Graham. And, Lord, we pray that you would raise up others as you see fit across this country and around the globe. We pray for the young preacher coming up that I had the privilege of meeting face-to-face the other day, who many believe will be the next Billy Graham. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would use him, Brother Nick Hall, I believe his name is, mightily, that souls would be saved, lives would be changed, your holy name would be glorified through his preaching and the preaching of thousands and thousands of pastors and evangelists and missionaries across this country and around the globe. And Lord, we pray for the media, the traditional media, as well as the new media. Save those who are lost in this profession and help them all to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for current events happening all around us, Lord, not to inform you because you know about these as well as many, many more, many others. But we pray this to be obedient to you, to pray for others, not just we ourselves. We pray for peace to prevail in Burkina Faso, for the comfort of the families of the 8 people killed in extremist attacks, and for the recovery of the nearly 100 people wounded, for the safety also and provision for the safety and provision of the 150,000 people in Papua New Guinea who are in desperate need of aid after a deadly earthquake. We pray for the protection of all those affected by this year's nor'easter, for the comfort of the families of 9 people killed in the storm. And we pray again for the family and the university community where a couple went down to pick up their son and was shot dead by their son. There is a devil loose. Demons are running all around the earth. And we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, from the minds of these people. And we pray still for the students of Florida, for as it always happens, there's an uproar, the media is everywhere, and then everybody goes home, but these people are still crying. These people are still crying. These people are still hurting. So comfort these children who have done wonderfully in light of what they've gone through, and they're trying to deal with it the best way they can, and more, comfort these parents especially, some of them who had the bravery to send their children back into that school system. And Lord, someone pointed out to me last night, something that I never even given thought to. He said, "But you have homeschooled your children since they've been born, haven't you?" I said, "That's correct." And he said, "Man, that's good. Your children don't have to deal with that," he said, "because it's safer that way." And this is a person who is not necessarily a Christian. And Lord, I never thought of that in my life. But I do thank you for giving me the wisdom to protect my children from a whole lot of foolishness that goes on in the public school system. And I pray that other parents would do the same, just bring the children home. And Holy Father God, we pray for Asaka. Please save his soul and take away all fears, feelings of loneliness, depression, and anxiety. Turn the heart of his friend towards you to be saved and not get caught up in the world. Help him use his gifts to glorify you. Bless him with a job and enough money to live on. Do that for all of your Christian people who are striving to serve you. We pray for justice. Please bless his ministry. We pray for Bushibi. Please pave the way for construction of better buildings and programs for their school. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Clifford. We pray for justice. And we pray for Shinwe. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. And we pray for all of them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Limi, Noma, and Sheldon. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit these souls into your hands. We commit our souls into your hands today. Let your will be done in our lives. Lord, prepare every Christian as you prepared me, first of all, to be dead themselves, to die daily. And you really don't care what happens once you're dead. And Lord, also, you have prepared me to die physically. I'm ready to go anytime you want me to go. not because I'm a good person, but because you are a good God, and you have blessed us with a great Savior. And we thank you for the precious blood of Christ that has covered our sins, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. And Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled A Heart of Belief by Dr. Billy Graham. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham goes on to say, the heart is the blood pump of the body. It is also used metaphorically when we speak of affections and feelings. Since it is the central organ of the body and one of the most vital, the Bible speaks of it as the wellspring. In the back, and check this way, and check those cameras for him. Hence it is used synonymously with life. When the Bible says, Son, give me thine heart, it doesn't mean that we are to cut out our actual hearts, our physical hearts, and give them to God. It means that we are to give him our lives, our all. Are you doing that, dear friend? When we come to Christ, we are not only to give intellectual assent with our minds. We are to believe in our hearts. We can believe in the historic Jesus. But if we are to have saving faith, our belief must involve our whole being. When we believe with all our hearts, the will, the emotions, and the intellect are surrendered to Christ. Do you believe and live like you believe with all your heart? Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your servant, Billy Graham, and for the words that he left behind. And help us, Lord, to learn from his words and to grow thereby, to change where we need to change. And, Lord, forgive us of our sins. And help us to believe with all of our hearts. For those who are not saved, to trust you as Savior. Those of us who are, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell before we leave today. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to save your soul from hell and to save your soul to heaven, because I don't understand why, but because God loves you. God loves us. I don't understand why God loves us either, but he does. I don't understand why God wants to fellowship with us and wants to bring us to heaven to be with him, but he does. So much so that he sacrificed his son as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And all you have to do, dear friend, is believe on him. Receive him as your Savior, for he died for your sins to save your soul from hell and to save it to heaven. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again by the power of God for you and for me, so that you can live eternally with him. Just pray and ask him to come into your heart and save your soul, believing with all of your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Join me in prayer right now if you want to be saved today. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.